May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning and Merry Christmas. Yes, it is still Christmas, or as I like to call it, the Five Golden Rings Day. You can make your donations to me in the back. No, I'm just kidding. There is still so much joy to the world and angels still to be hearkened. This is a traditional Sunday for the preaching duties to be bestowed upon the resident seminarian, and I want to thank you for such a lovely gift, Father John David. I'm always inspired by the words of St. John's Gospel. I believe most people are. What we heard this morning has already been read on Christmas Day, but today we heard four additional verses that fortify the role of John the Baptist. And I like that he gets credit for going on ahead of Jesus and preparing the way. St. John's prologue from pre-incarnation to crucifixion shows us the power of the word. Both Father John David and soon-to-be Deacon Kyle have preached on the darkness giving way to the light that has come to live among us. Frankly, I wasn't sure what more could be said. But I realize that we are now standing in this light. We need to know who this person born in a manger really is. We need to ponder whom St. John's Gospel is telling us he is. It isn't easy, but it will be enriching. Whenever there is any downtime in seminary and there's next to none, you will usually find us in a huddle somewhere on campus. And we are usually talking about something that was said in class or in chapel. We are church geeks. And when church geeks talk amongst themselves, they inevitably ask the question, "What's your favorite gospel?" And nearly everyone says, "John." John's telling of the story of Jesus is like a mysterious pool of water. Inviting, but you can't see the bottom, so you don't know how truly deep it is. You mustn't be afraid to wade into the water, though. You must have faith. Like the Synoptic Gospels, it begins with the story of Jesus' birth, but you do not hear the traditional road tripping to Bethlehem for the census taking. No vacancy signs everywhere, stars shining above them, which caught the eye of the kings. That's not there. No straw in a manger with donkeys or, as our very own Christmas pageant had, reindeer. This sort of gospel is different. Here, the birth of Jesus is summed up in 9 words. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Not enough for children's Christmas pageant, but more than enough for the children of God. These 9 words are our gift from God, the gift of the Word, the gift of Jesus Christ, the light. From the moment God spoke the world into existence in Genesis, the Word has been with us. God tried many ways to facilitate an understanding in his children of how dear and precious they were to him. But time and again, they failed to listen. Failed to follow the law, failed to read, mark, and inwardly digest the word. But God did not give up. Instead, he sent his son to dwell among us. The climax of Genesis 1 is the creation of humans. The climax of John 1 is the arrival of a human being, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God asked us to truly listen and to hear what the Word was saying, what the Word was teaching. There's an old saying that I've heard that Episcopalians take the Bible far too seriously to take it literally. I respect that. I'd like to think that every time I read Scripture, I am taking it seriously. I am stopping my delusional multitasking lifestyle, and I'm taking time out of time to be with God and to hear his word. I had an English teacher in high school who, on the first day of class, asked us all to list the books we had read in the past year. And then she listed hers and added that she had once again reread Ivanhoe. We teenagers were incredulous as to why you would reread a book that you have already read. "Well, my dear," she said, "if you have a beautiful painting, you don't look at it just once, do you? You will never be able to overread the Bible. You will never exhaust the wisdom and beauty of the Word. Scripture is meant to be read slowly. I urge you, if you don't already do so, read it aloud, if only for yourself and God." The Hebrew word for meditate is haggah, which variously means to moan, growl, utter, speak, or muse out loud. Fill the air with the Word of God. In one of my classes this fall, we were asked to read the Bible in a place where we would not normally do so, either out loud or silently. I think you can guess which I decided to do. Yes, out loud. I read some Psalms up on the High Line, and I read some of the Gospel of Mark in a diner in Chelsea. Bibles are easily recognizable, even one as tattered as mine. They provoke visual responses from people when they realize you're not reading the latest John Grisham novel. You are reading Scripture in public. It seems like a radical act. But it led to a few conversations with strangers who, yes, asked me what my favorite gospel was. So obviously, the word is Jesus. And the small W word is the Scriptures. But what about the speech that comes from us? As you meditate on what you have read, think about your words. The words that come from your mouth, are they weapons or are they instruments of peace? What comes from your mouth? As a little girl, I always thought it would be a great idea if we were limited to the number of mean things we can say in one lifetime, or that we were incapable of lying. I thought God should use his power to make that happen. Now I'm older, I realize he has. He wisely put the responsibility on us to use our free will to make kind choices. As we continue celebrating the 12 days of Christmas, let us remember to be impeccable with our words as well as our thoughts. Strive to have empathy for every person you meet, even the one on the subway, sitting right next to you, who is playing a video on their iPhone without benefit of headphones. Really try to have compassion for them. The word is a gift. Be sure that you use it, that you use your free will to honor it, protect it, proclaim it, share it, and say it out loud with me. Amen.